Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Sev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. We're going to be discussing this week's parasha, as we've been doing for several weeks now, this week's Torah portion. And we're going to be discussing some of our videos, our Hebrew video campaign taking off again and causing controversy again in Israel. And we're going to show you, in fact, a clip of one of those videos in Hebrew. We're going to show you what we've done. Let me start off with the Hebrew videos in Israel. You know, we're trying to wake the people of Israel up. We're trying to wake them up to the reality of the horrific, disastrous leadership that they have in the Jewish state. And one of the things they have at this time of the year is what we call the Festival Rabin, which means the festival for Yitzhak Rabin, for his assassination. They start in late October and they continue all the way through until November 4th, November 5th, until about this time of the year. They continue for about 2 weeks trying to brainwash the people of Israel about what a hero, what a monumental figure, what a god Yitzhak Rabin was. They literally worship him in the news media in Israel and all the leftist institutions and the educational system. They try to teach Jews to worship Yitzhak Rabin. And so we, of course, stand against that because Yitzhak Rabin was a mass murderer. He was a traitor. And the things that he did to the Jewish people were so horrific that it's incredible that any Jew would in any way want to support a monster like this. They say that they can't understand, this is what the leftists say, how can a Jew murder another Jew? Yigal Amir shot and assassinated Yitzhak Rabin, killed him. And so they say, a Jew murdered another Jew? How can a Jew murder another Jew? We can't believe that they would do something like this. This is the line that they've been giving us for more than 20 years now. And so we asked the same question in our Hebrew videos. If it's unbelievable that a Jew could murder another Jew, how could this possibly happen? Then how did Yitzhak Rabin and David Ben-Gurion, David Ben-Gurion was the first prime minister of Israel. Yitzhak Rabin was prime minister twice in the 1970s for a period of time, for several years, and then again for several years in the 1990s. How did Yitzhak Rabin and David Ben-Gurion in 1948, during Israel's War of Independence, attack Jewish heroes from the Irgun Tzvayi Leumi, Etzel in Hebrew, we call it Ha-Etzel in Hebrew. How did they attack members of Etzel, a right-wing underground organization, who were on a ship called the Altalena and who were bringing in weapons in the 1948 War of Independence, in Israel's 1948 War of Independence, weapons which Israel desperately needed? If they had had those weapons and if they had not murdered the right-wing Jews, as they eventually did, as we're going to explain to you what they eventually did to them, we could have liberated Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and Gaza. We could have liberated those lands in 1948. And Israel's natural and fully accepted borders would be much larger than they are today. But they didn't want those weapons to come in, even though the Irgun had secured those weapons. They didn't want the Irgun or the Etzel, the right-wing underground freedom fighters, to bring those weapons in, because then the right-wing underground freedom fighters would get the credit. Even though they deserve the credit for everything that happened, they created the state of Israel. The right-wing underground freedom fighters are the ones that blew the British out of Israel and that created a Jewish state. It wasn't Ben-Gurion or Chaim Weizmann or the other leftists or the establishment that created Israel. They stood in the way of creating a Jewish state, Ben-Gurion and the others. The real creators of the Jewish state were the Jewish freedom fighters in Etzel and Lehi and the underground right-wing organizations. They were the real creators of a Jewish state. So in addition to everything they did to create a Jewish state, now they were bringing in the weapons that Israel so desperately needed. They were bringing in enough weaponry for Israel to really make a decisive change in the 1948 War of Independence. They didn't want that to happen because then they would get the credit. The right wing would get the credit. And so Ben-Gurion ordered Yitzhak Rabin and the Palmach, which was a leftist group, he ordered them to attack the Jews coming in on the Altalena. Menachem Begin was on that ship, as were other Jewish freedom fighters from the Irgun, from Etzel. And they were coming in, and they had already said, no problem, they said, we want to fight together with you. We will give you our brothers, we'll fight together with you. We'll give you 80% of the weapons that we're bringing in, we'll give 80% to you. We'll give you 80%, whatever you want. Just let's fight together, let's have unity, so that we can create, so we can win this battle for the Jewish homeland. And Ben-Gurion and Rabin promised them, yeah, okay, they said, yes, we'll agree to that. They pretended they were agreeing to that, and then when the Altalena came in, they were lying. When the Altalena came in, they bombed the ship. They bombed the ship and sunk the ship, and while Jews were jumping off the ship with the weapons, the ship of the Etzel with the weapons, the right-wing ship with the weapons, they bombed the ship, and as Jews were jumping off the ship into the water to swim to safety because the weapons were blowing up and the Jews were killed, were murdered by that bombing. The Jews who were jumping off in the water, they were machine-gunning the Jews in the water. Yitzhak Rabin and the Palmach were machine-gunning the Jews in the water trying to swim to safety on the beach. In the end that day, they murdered 16 Jewish freedom fighters from Etzel. 16 Jewish heroes from the Etzel. These 16 Jewish heroes were all Holocaust survivors. Their entire families had been in the death camps in the concentration camps in Europe, and they came to the land of Israel to fight for a Jewish homeland. And Yitzhak Rabin and David Ben-Gurion murdered them, slaughtered them in cold blood for political reasons, because they didn't want the right wing to get the credit for creating a Jewish state and for saving the Jewish state in the moment of need. And so if it's unthinkable that a Jew would murder another Jew, which is what they say about Rabin's assassination, how is it possible that Rabin himself murdered 16 Jews on the Altalena? 16 Holocaust survivors, 16 Jewish heroes. How could he do that with his good cold blood? He slaughtered them. How could he do something like that? And if a Jew is not allowed to murder other Jews, how did Yitzhak Rabin agree to the Oslo agreements with the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat? He brought Arafat and 80,000 armed Muslim Nazi terrorists into the land of Israel under the Oslo agreements and started giving them land in the heartland of biblical Israel and handing over everything to them. And armed them and trained them and gave them billions of dollars in assistance. And they went on, of course, to slaughter 1,800 Jews, 1,800 Jews. Hashem Yikom Damam, may God avenge their blood, were butchered by Arafat and the other Arab terrorists that Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres and the supporters of Oslo brought into the land of Israel. And so we've done videos exposing all of this. And another thing we've done, Rabin was a notorious alcoholic. And so another thing that we did is we did a video where I imitate Yitzhak Rabin when he's drunk. And we did this in Hebrew. And people love the video. Israelis who know what Rabin really is all about, know how evil he is. They love to see someone finally ridicule him and stand up against him with all of this Rabin worship. We're supposed to worship him because it's the peace process. He sought peace. He sought peace. He was a man of peace. And the enemies of peace came and killed him. This is the nonsense that they're spewing. That was peace. Bringing Arafat, Rabin and Peres and Arafat were bringing peace to Israel. Some peace. They were blowing up every bus on every street corner in Israel. There was terror day and night in Israel. 1,800 Jews were slaughtered because of this. But anyway, here's the video where I imitate Yitzhak Rabin when he's drunk.
המבוגרים זוכרים כשרבין תמיד השווה למשל את הליכוד ואת הדתיים ואת הרבנים ואת המתנחלים ואת ביבי נתניהו לחמאס. הוא אמר שביבי נתניהו והליכוד הם כמו החמאס. זה מה שהוא אמר. אתם זוכרים את זה? אתם זוכרים את הנאומים שלו? ביבי נתניהו והליכוד וכל הרבנים האלה והמתנחלים הם כמו החמאס, מתנגדי השלום, לא כמו הפרטנר החבר שלי, יאסר ערפאת. וכל החברים שלנו מפתח ואשף, הם אני תמיד סניתי את כל הליכודניקים ואת כל המזרחיים ואת כל הרוסים, אני תמיד סניתי אותם. ואנחנו צריכים להמשיך עם תהליך השלום. לא משנה מה קורבנות השלום אומרים לנו. לא משנה. כי הם רק כמו רעש הפרופלורים בשבילי. כשאני שומע את קרובי משפחות הטרור בוכים על הרצח, בשבילי זה רק כמו רעש פרופלורים. אני לא שם לב אפילו. אני רק שם לב למה שהחבר שלי, יאסר ערפאת, והמחבלים של אש"ף אומרים לי.
By the way, in the video I mentioned that Rabin said that even wimpy Bibi Netanyahu and the wimpy Likud, even they are just like Hamas. They're like Hamas. They're against their enemies of peace. You know, the type of things that he said. Because we're not allowed to say anything critical of Rabin now. You know what Rabin is? It's like Martin Luther King in the United States. You say anything critical of Martin Luther King, they call you a racist. You say anything critical of Rabin, you're a terrorist, you're an assassin, you're an extremist. What the hell is this? This is a democracy? This is not a democracy. If we can criticize and condemn Rabin as much as we want. That is our right. It's our right of free speech. It's our human right. And it's our obligation to condemn him for what he did to the Jewish people. And so these videos have a liberating effect upon Jews who see them. We're advertising the video now, of course, along with many other videos. This is, by the way, this is just one out of many videos. We've shown you other videos we do in Hebrew. I mean, we've got hundreds of videos up there on YouTube, and we're trying to bring the truth to the people of Israel. If we weren't there, nobody would dare to say the things or do the things that we're doing. Nobody would dare do this type of thing. Nobody would. That's why it's so important that our advertising campaign reach as many Jews in Israel as possible. The more you help us, the more you send to us and help us, more money you send to us, and the more you help us promote our videos in Hebrew and in English, and promote our forums and promote our websites, the more you do that, the more you help us reach people with this essential message, which is so essential for Israel's survival. I mean, if you really want to bring the truth and the whole truth to the people of Israel, the real truth to the people of Israel, the politically incorrect truth, that should have been told from the beginning, and it's long overdue that someone tell that truth. If you really want that the people of Israel to have that truth reach them, then you're in the right place if you're supporting JTF. The more support we get from you, the more people see those videos, and the stronger Israel's position is. I want to speak now about this week's parashat Chaye Sarah. Chaye Sarah is the parasha where Sarah, our mother, Sarah, passes away. She was 127 years old. And Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, wants to bury her. And he wants to find a place to bury her. He wants to bury her in Me'arat HaMachpelah. Me'arat HaMachpelah is a burial cave in Hebron, where all of our forefathers are buried. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov are buried there. And he wanted this burial cave, and he wanted the fields around it. He wanted to purchase it. And so the Torah goes into great detail of how Avraham went through so much trouble with all types of negotiations back and forth with the, you know, the local person at that time. It was Ephron the Hittite. Ephron the Hittite was the owner of the land, and so Avraham wanted to purchase it from him, and if Ephron asked him for 400 shekels of silver, which was a huge sum in those days, a gigantic sum of money, the land was not worth 400 shekels of silver, but Avraham immediately agrees. And counts out the money and gives him the 400 shekels of silver. And the Torah goes through all types of detail with, and repeating this and taking a lot of time and space on this. And the Torah is very, very careful about every single letter that appears in that sacred book. Every letter is sacred. Every letter has a meaning. So when you see a story that really extends and that is very long, that's unusual in the Torah, because the Torah, brevity is the name of the game when it comes to the language of the Torah, in every respect. And so it's another example of the unbelievable importance of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, to the Jewish people, how vital this was. He wanted a foothold, achuzah. He wanted what the Torah referred to as achuzah, a foothold in the land of Israel. And so this, the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, was important to the forefathers in life and in death. It is essential to God's plan to redeem the world that the Jews be back in their homeland. Because God's plan is not for the Jews to be spread all over the world and preach a certain religion. That was a possibility. I mean, that's one way for you to do it. But God didn't want that. God wanted instead the Jews to be concentrated in one land, and the whole world would be paying attention and watching what they do in that one land. And that one land would set an example for the whole world, would be a light unto the nations, and a holy nation, and a nation of priests, and would show the world how things can be done. And Jews that come from the exile would come from dozens of countries, come from dozens and dozens of countries, Jews of every color, Jews of every ethnicity, Jews speaking every language, all coming to the land of Israel, living together as brothers and sisters, and building a model nation based on God's laws and based on justice and kindness and brotherhood and truth and righteousness. This would be the light unto the nations, the holy nation, the nation of priests. That's the model. And Avraham understood that, and therefore Avraham very much wanted to have the Me'arat HaMachpelah, this cave, this burial cave in Hebron, and it's very, very important to us. It's a very sacred site. It's the second most sacred site in the world. The first most sacred site is where Beit HaMikdash was in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. That's the most sacred. And the second most sacred is probably Me'arat HaMachpelah, the cave of the patriarchs. Bibi Netanyahu and the phony right government in Israel, they want to give away Hebron. They want to surrender Hebron. They're building a wall to separate the land that they plan to surrender to the Muslim Nazi terrorists, to create a Palestinian state, so-called, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. But they want to create a state like that in Israel's biblical heartland, which would be national suicide for Israel. And so they're building a wall to separate one side of the wall, what they want to give to the Arab terrorists, the Arab Nazi terrorists, the other side of the wall for the tiny little Jewish state that'll be only 10 miles wide and completely indefensible. And one of the places that's way beyond the wall that certainly would be given away, God forbid, is Hebron. 97% of Hebron was already handed over to the Arab terrorists by Bibi Netanyahu in the 1990s. He surrendered 97% of Hebron, the city of our forefathers, when Bill Clinton, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, was president. 97% of Hebron was given away by Bibi Netanyahu in 1996, in December 1996. And now the 3% of Hebron is still in Jewish hands, and you have some wonderful, brave Jews, about 500 or 600, I think there are about 500 Jews that live there now. And then you have communities close by, like Kiryat Arba, we have thousands of Jews living. And they want to destroy all those communities, and they want to hand all of that over to the Arab terrorists. We are taught in Judaism that whoever controls Hebron, we saw this with King David, because he started ruling in Hebron, and then ruled later in Jerusalem, 7 years in Hebron, and then later 33 years he ruled in Jerusalem. But he started in Hebron. Hebron is the key to controlling Jerusalem and all of the land of Israel. Whoever controls Hebron will control the land of Israel. If we surrender Hebron, chas v'chalila, God forbid, it's suicidal for the Jewish people, spiritually suicidal and physically suicidal. And this evil government is freezing Jewish building in Hebron, freezing the settlements, and destroying Jewish communities, and doing everything they can to undermine the Jewish communities in Hebron and Kiryat Arba, all the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. This is the most hostile government to Jewish settlements and Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria in Israel's history. There has never been a more hostile government. We are again obligated to do everything we can to fight for Hebron. Just as this was so important, Abraham Avinu, when he was the world's only Jew at one point, he was the world's first Jew and the world's only Jew. It says all the world was on one side and Abraham Avinu was on the other side. That's why he's called Abraham Ha'ivri. The word Ivri comes from Ever. Ever in Hebrew means side. Abraham Ha'ivri means Abraham the Hebrew. It comes the origin of the word is from the word side, because it says Abraham stood on one side and the whole world stood on the other side. And even when he was all alone and it seemed completely hopeless, he still
believed
in Hebron.
Until next week, this is Chaim
Ben Pesach, the land of Israel.
Shalom.
He passed all the tests that Hashem gave him. He stood for righteousness and truth and was faithful to Hashem and kept the Torah before the Torah was even given to the Jewish people. He already knew what the laws were and kept the laws. We are obligated, and we're in this world to make sure that Hebron, Jewish Hebron, remains Jewish, and that the Muslim Nazi terrorist mass butchers not get their hands on the 3% of Hebron that still belongs to the Jews, and we have to liberate the other 97% as well. We do everything we can to try to wake people up in Israel with Hebrew videos. And we are reaching people, and our videos and our what we're doing does reach a group of people which is growing. And we hope it'll have an effect. We'll see. I mean, elections are going to come up and we're going to see the results of the elections. We're supporting Moshe Feiglin from the Zehut Party. We'll see what happens in the end. Moshe Feiglin from the Zehut Party, wonderful, he's a wonderful person, but he can never say the things we say. He doesn't say what we say because he can't. He would be banned. But anyway, we say things that no one else says, that must be said, that are essential. If you agree, help us. Let's fight together as a team. Because if we fight together as a team, Be'ezrat Hashem, with God's help, we can still make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.